If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
Yo, what's up? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Wednesday, April 5th, 2023. I'm one of your hosts, Blessing Adeoye Jr. Joining me is host of the X-Cast, the master of hype, Snowbike Mike.
Homie, good morning, Bless. It's great to be here with you. A nice rarity for me to join Kinda Funny Games Daily and to be with you, the young king of video games. I always love chopping it up with you, talking some games. So I'm excited to see what kind of news we get into today.
Oh, we got some good news to talk about. Yeah. But before we get there, how are you doing? How's your morning going?
Plus, I'm feeling good. I got a lot of rest after a long WrestleMania weekend. You know,
you were tired. I was pooped, Bless.
And, you know, we came in on Monday, did the podcast. Yesterday, I felt it. And so last night, I got some really good rest. I'm feeling good. Playing some light games in the background. A lot of people know that I'm playing Yakuza 0 right now in my back pocket. That's just like the mic chill.
How many hours are you into it?
Probably about 7 right now.
That's my drop-off point with Yakuza.
Okay.
Because I've hopped into Yakuza 0 years and years ago.
Yes.
Hopped into Like a Dragon. Hopped into Lost Judgment. And every single time I hop into one of these games, I get 7 hours in. I'm like, what a fun time. And then I just drop off for whatever reason. And so you just got to push forward wherever you're at right now, and you're good.
I'm trying my best. I am having fun. Of course, you know, this is a little bit different for me than Like a Dragon. I liked Like a Dragon because it was dubbed. Right, like Barrett knows on the anime side, I'm not the biggest subtitle fan, but I'm trying it because this does pique my interest, especially coming hot off of John Wick, where you're like, man, those guys are the baddest, you know what I mean? So I'm having fun with that. Also playing some weird, fun, wacky games. Played a little Meet Your Maker last night.
What do you think of that? Because I picked it up for a little bit. I really like the idea. I don't know if I'm having fun with it yet. I've only done like a couple of the dungeons. And so far, it seems pretty brutal in a way that I don't know is speaking to me. Where I'm getting one hit kills in this thing.
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah.
How are you liking it?
I'm just like you, Bless. There's a weird 50-50 blend of me right now where I'm intrigued by the idea. I like the idea of going into people's bases that they create and going out and finding their traps and being like, oh, I got you, shutting down that trap. And of course, I always love a good one where they get me and I go, oh, that sucks. But I do hate, of course, restarting the whole level. Only having a small amount of ammo where I have to shoot you once, go pick up the ammo, redo it again. Like that was kind of mind-numbing to me. But I'm having a weird blend of fun slash like bang my head against the wall frustration.
Yeah. I was talking to Andy about it a little bit, and I think he made the right comparison where he mentioned it. Oh, it's like Mario Maker, where it's more about memorizing the levels as opposed to your in-the-moment skill, right? It is about, all right, this person put this spike pit here, so I know I need to look out for this thing. Oh, shit, okay, now I died to this next enemy that's over here.
Yep.
So I know that when I go in, I need to take a left, dodge to the right, and then turn right, and then shoot this guy. Like, it's that sort of memorization, which I think it's going to work for a lot of people, but I almost wish that this was a Super Meat Boy style game, or a 2D platformer. If this is a 2D platformer or a 2D action thing, or if it was like a Celeste type game, I think that would speak to me a bit more.
Okay.
But I'm just not as skilled in the first person shooter aspect for this kind of game, right? Like, I prefer something that is a bit more like fixed or arena, like a Doom or something like that.
This one has me intrigued. I'm going to definitely go back and have some fun with this one, try it again and see how far I can get. But yeah, I'm enjoying that. Another two for you. Of course, me and Nick Scarpino today are going to play Bus Sim.
Oh, hell 21. Yeah.
I'm very excited. We've been playing a lot of job simulation games. I do love the idea of driving a bus, pulling up to your stop, opening it up, letting you come in. We have the wheel set up.
I love the idea of driving a bus, this guy says.
Just driving a bus, chilling out. So, I mean, shout out to Logitech for sending Team Kinda Funny the wheel and, of course, the pedal. So I have that set up in the lab right now. I am excited to play that.
Quick tip, to do it correctly.
Yes.
Being a bus driver, simulating the job of a bus driver, you got to just, like, skip a stop or two.
Oh, they skip
a stop. Just look dead into the eyes of the people that you're driving.
Just give them the finger. Just like, fuck you.
I've had a couple buses drive past me. Is right, Barrett. I like that. We'll do that. And then
were you ever the type to run after a bus as a kid? Like, you're at the bus stop. Or you're, like, on your way to the bus stop, but you overslept or you were lazy or whatever. And you see the bus and you're like, fucking, That was me. I did that a lot.
Really? Yeah. No, I'll never run after the bus. I was the type of kid where if the bus was coming or I missed it, I would just start walking towards the next stop and then the next stop, like pretending like I'm making distance while the bus is catching up to me. Mm-hmm. But in reality, I'm just wasting my energy when the bus is going to come eventually anyway. So I always walked down the line.
I always had it timed out perfectly where I knew that the bus was going to stop at my stop at 7:36 on the dot. Right, it's always 7:36. If it's a snow day, maybe 7:38. But it was very punctual. And so like I would wake up, eat breakfast or whatever, like be ready, and then I knew I could walk to that stop in like a 2 minutes flat because it was down at the end of the street. And so there'd be days where I'd time it out where I'd walk out of my house, look at my clock, and I'm like, oh, it's 7:35, and I can like kind of peek like around like the like through the yards to see like, okay, has the bus entered the neighborhood? Because like it has to like, you know, make the path. Uh-huh. So I see like, ah, shit, all right, it seems like it's in the neighborhood. I need to turn around and go to like the stop that's on the other side, which is like a 4 minute walk. But if I power walk fast enough or run, like do a You'll speed run, I can beat it there. That was always the fun game to play in the morning. And then I'd miss my bus and get in trouble.
I would kill for a punctual bus. Let me tell you.
Oh, poor Barrett. Barrett's taking a lot of public transport, is right.
Sometimes, you know, the really important bus, because I take three buses to get here, the really important one in the middle, like sometimes it arrives at like 8:20. Sometimes it's 8:15. Mm. Sometimes it's 8:36, you know? It's never consistent.
Oh, that's tough. And one final one for you. I'm playing Crab Champions. Now, okay. A lot of us are highly anticipating the game that you got to preview over at RGDC
Another crab
Week.
Treasure.
The big crab game, all about the Dark Souls vibe. This is a bullet hell arena shooter crab game. So you are in a third-person perspective looking at your crab with all different kinds of guns, just blasting other crabs and other kind of, you know, crustacean-like enemies. And I will say you can play this up to three people, so you can have two other friends join you, and it's just room after room of bullet hell, fast-paced shooting action. And I really like this game. I wish my friends would play this with me. Hopefully I can get them more. And they also have some fun 3D platforming going on where at the end of every level, Bless, there's like eight stages that you have to do to complete it, right? So you beat one level, and then they give you the option. Mm. Hey, do you want to do this level where maybe you'll get more health back and you'll get extra treasure? Do you want to do this level with blah, blah, blah? Sometimes they throw in, hey, do you want to do this 3D action platformer? Beat this level at a high time, we'll give you more health. And so I thought that was kind of cute and fun with it. But I like this Crab Champions game right now.
Are you all about the crab craze that's going on right now? Because I feel like crabs are in vogue. I feel like
crabs are hot right now.
The crabs are hot. What was it? Was it the crab song that set that off?
Yeah.
Is that the reason why everybody's going after the crabs?
Really, like the beginning of it. And I feel like that was even like a little bit before the real like crab phase was going on, but I think that's what started.
Because there was a crab fighting game that came out a few years ago that I played a little bit, and I was like, what am I doing here? And then, yeah, there's this, there's another Crab's Treasure. Aggro Crab is literally a studio named after crabs.
Yes.
Like, there was everywhere.
There was a one crab game where it was like, remember the fish game where you would eat smaller fish and then become a bigger fish, and then you would eat bigger fish because you were becoming bigger?
Oh, I think I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, there was a crab game like that where you'd eat a smaller crab, you become a bigger crab, then you eat another crab and you become even bigger, you know what I mean? And then you bang into other people. I liked those kind of games as well. Okay. But I'm not a big crab guy. I'm a blue lobster type of guy. You know when you see those guys, the lobster fishermen, and they pull out the blue one and he's like, oh, look how cool this is. Mm-hmm. I'm that kind of
guy. Make some blue lobster games for Mike, everybody. While you do that, let me tell you about today's stories, which include a rumored PlayStation handheld, God of War Ragnarok's new game plus mode, and more, because this is Kind of Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday at 10 a.m. live right here on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. We run you through the nerdy news need to know about. If you're watching live, you can correct us when we get stuff wrong by going to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong. If you don't want to watch live, you can watch later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, or you can listen later on podcast services around the globe by searching for Kinda Funny Games Daily. Remember, you can use Epic Creator Code Kinda Funny on all Epic Store and Epic in-game purchases like Rocket League and Fortnite to help support the channel. To be a part of the show, head to kindoffunny.com/KFGD to write in with your questions, squad ups, and more. And remember, patreon.com/kindoffunny will get you the show ad-free plus a bevy of bonus content. Housekeeping for you. As a reminder, April's premium collector's item is by @PinkSpiderFelix on Twitter. Enter the Spider-Verse, kind of. You can grab this month's premium item over on Patreon. Barrett has it pulled up if you're a video watcher. And like Greg mentioned the other day, I am sad that neither Greg nor myself were included in this premium collector's item in the art. Yeah. But you have you have Joey there. You have other kind of funny references there. I do wish that me and Greg were in there. But you do have shirtless Spider-Man. And prominently, you have shirtless Miles Morales in there. And it's a really hot-looking piece of art.
Again,
it's really
dope. They're in there to kind of be y'all's proxies since y'all take pictures of shirtless Spider-Man.
On the bottom right corner, this is obviously Joey. I don't know. I feel like you could have done something like that for me and Greg. But
Good call. But a great print right there. Very cool collector's item. I love seeing these.
Yep. Yeah. If you want one, you can, of course, go over to patreon.com/kindoffunny. And speaking of patreon.com/kindoffunny, a brand new episode of the brand new season of Kind of Feudy is up right now. And things switch up with an MCU-themed episode of Kind of Feudy, a.k.a. MC Feudy.
Oh my gosh.
MC Feudy. Now, did that confuse people because they thought it was going to be about rap music? Uh-huh. A little bit.
Yeah. Okay.
Did that confuse people because they thought I was talking about McDonald's? Possibly.
Oh.
But no, we're talking about the MCU, the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
You're
and
so
that
deep.
Kind of Feudy.
You're deep in the Duffy of that. And I always want to give you flowers of all the cool creative things you do, from the Blessing Show to Kind of Feudy, because I love seeing you shine doing these fun stuff. But I will say, Bless, you're one knock. The streets be talking.
What are the streets saying?
People be saying, not enough Snowbike Mike on Kind of Feudy, season one champion.
That's what I be saying.
The streets be saying, where's Mike at? You know what
now,
I mean? Just want to let you know.
I don't know if you're the season one champion, but I will say.
Season one champ. That's
not
what people
not
said.
Enough Snowmike Mike on Kind of Feudy. I do agree.
I love that show so much.
He can say a season one champ, but realistically, Bless, season one was like, what, 6 months ago?
Like, season one was like a year ago.
Several years
Season
ago.
One would have been like the first six episodes or so of Kind of Feudy, but it doesn't matter. It's all the same thing. Why do we even have seasons? I don't know.
Why do we have seasons, Bless?
I don't know. Every time I put out a new poll, that's I count that as a new season.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I didn't know you were doing it like
that.
So that's
how I do it, because it is kind of separated. And so like this season that we're in right now is the grab bag season, where every episode is a different theme of Kind of Feudy.
Fun.
And so this current week, right, we're doing MCU. Next week, who knows? Are we doing Kind of Foodie? Who knows?
Love that.
Who knows?
Love that.
You'll have to tune in to see. Thank you to our Patreon producers, Tripod Plus Plus and Delaney Twining. Today we're brought to you by Shady Rays and Evil Dead Rise, but we'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin with what is and forever will be the Oprah Report. It's time for some news. We have five stories today.
A Baker's Dozen.
Starting with a number one. Sony's working on a new handheld, according to a new report. This is Tom Henderson at Insider Gaming. Following days of speculation, Insider Gaming can report that there's a new PlayStation handheld in development. Codenamed the Q-Lite, the next PlayStation handheld is the next piece of Sony hardware that aims to be yet another piece of hardware that requires the PlayStation 5. Insider Gaming understands that the Q-Lite is not a cloud streaming device, but instead uses remote play with the PlayStation 5, a feature the console giant has been pushing these past couple of weeks. Sporting adaptive streaming up to 1080p and 60fps, the new device will require constant connectivity to the internet. As for the console's physical features, early prototypes show the console will look a lot like the PlayStation 5 controller, but with a massive 8-inch LCD touchscreen in the center. The device sports adaptive triggers for haptic feedback and will include what you would come to expect from a handheld: volume buttons, speaker, an audio input jack, etc. Insider Gaming understands that the Q-Lite is in its QA phase and is scheduled to release before the PlayStation 5 Pro and after the detachable disc drive PS5. As previously mentioned by industry insider Jeff Grubb, Sony is planning to announce its second phase of the PS5, which I feel like we coined. I think that might have came from us, which was in reference to its future game slate. Ironically, though, this, quote, second phase is very much true for Sony's hardware offerings, with the new detachable disc drive, PlayStation 5, Project Nomad being the wireless earphones, Project Voyager being the wireless headset, and Q-Lite being the handheld, all scheduled to release within a very short period. It's understood that the PlayStation 5 Pro is aiming for a holiday 2024 release. Mike, talking about a new PlayStation handheld, how does this strike you?
Blessing, let's talk about this. And of course, I'm going to lean on you, my PlayStation expert, to get deep into the weeds of all this. But I'll give you my initial reactions to hearing this. One, dope. I love a good handheld. I got a lot of handhelds in my closet collecting dust from my old Game Boys to my Steam Deck as of recent years, right? Mm-hmm. And I love when PlayStation goes out and makes a handheld. I was a big Vita guy. I love that. Two, let's talk about some of this stuff.
Yeah.
PS Remote Play, you're going to school me on that in a moment. I've used Remote Play once on my PlayStation. In all the years that I've had PlayStation, they've preached Remote Play. I want a dedicated, either streaming over 5G, Wi-Fi, and or I put a game in there like the Vita, or I download it to my console and play it. I don't like the idea of just having this streaming device where I have to have it streaming to a console. No. I want to be able to download these games so when I'm on the airplane and the Wi-Fi sucks, I can still play my games. Or I'm at the hotel and the Wi-Fi connection sucks, I can still play these games. Or I can buy a little disc drive, put it in there, whatever you want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So for me, I start to worry about this streaming-only device, especially through Remote Play where I have to have a PS5. That's a big red flag for me.
Yeah.
And finally, I'll give it some kudos. I like the idea of what I'm hearing from this controller with a big touchscreen in the middle, right? We talk about the Switch and how that looked with the Joy-Cons. We've talked about the Steam Deck now with that control, kind of controller-like feel with the back buttons. I want to see what PlayStation does with a DualSense with maybe a big screen in the middle. How does that form factor feel? So there's some positives for me. Love hearing a handheld from PlayStation. Like the idea of this controller with the screen in the middle. Red flags is this streaming only with Remote Play. Another thing that's tied to my PS5, just like the PSVR headset, of course.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a little worried about that. So I need you to school me. What's up with Remote Play, right? Is it the future? And why do we have to have it that way?
Is the Remote Play the future? I'd say not really. No, okay. It's a feature that's been around for a very long time now. And it's a feature that I think it's underrated. I think Remote Play is pretty dope. Back when even Persona 5 original came out back in 2017. I remember playing that on my PS4 and being like, man, I miss playing Persona on my PlayStation Vita. Like, that felt like such the ideal experience. And then I realized, I was like, well, I can bust out my Vita and do remote play of my PS4 through my Vita. And I started playing Persona 5 that way. And that was actually a really cool way to play.
Now, really quick. What remote up? Play, of course, me, I'm thinking back on the times I did it, is my PlayStation had to be on.
Yes.
Then all of a sudden, I would connect to the PlayStation where essentially I had all of the PlayStation stuff there.
Yeah.
And it would stream to me that way.
1,000%. That's how it works. Yeah, Remote Play is literally you just remoting into your PlayStation through whatever handheld device.
That PlayStation always had to be in rest mode, right? I'm a fully powered off type of
your PlayStation
jabroni.
Cannot be all the way off if you want to use Remote Play.
Okay.
Which brings us to what this handheld is, right? Which I think this is an interesting idea. It's an idea that we've been talking about a little bit this week and this last week. We talked about it a lot yesterday, actually, because who was it that announced the handheld yesterday? It was a handheld that was announced. Asus. It was Asus because the Asus handheld, right? We were talking about how the market for handhelds feels like it's opening up again, right? And how it'd be really cool to see Microsoft or a PlayStation especially explore that space, right? Because they saw the Vita 2 or the not the Vita 2, they saw the Vita go down and like that didn't get the support it needed to sustain, right? You talk about how mobile gaming came through and really dominated the space and really made it so that if you already have access to a phone, right, are you going to want to buy a handheld thing? The Switch comes through, disproves that, right? The Steam Deck has now come through, it disproved that even more. Handheld gaming is a thing that I think it's getting back to an era where it's thriving again.
Yeah.
This I don't see as entering that space. This I almost see as more of an accessory rather than a dedicated handheld. And I think think about it in that way, it starts to make sense. I want to bring in a question from Grezik, who writes in kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, hey, Bless and Mike, Insider Gaming is reporting that Sony is making a dedicated Remote Play handheld. First things first, is Greg okay? He's obviously gotten a hold of a monkey's paw and things aren't going well. Has he made any other wishes we should be warned about? In all seriousness, I cannot see a compelling use case for a device. Why not use your phone and a backbone? While I appreciate Sony trying to think beyond just the console, between this and PSVR 2's lackluster start, it's starting to feel like the peripheral initiatives are just shoveling money into a furnace. Do you see a market for a dedicated Remote Play device? Does this device interest you at all? Thanks for all you do. My answer to this is, I think it depends on pricing. Because... Okay. If you're talking about a device that is solely for Remote Play, you are not having to worry about processing power on the level of a PlayStation 5. Because that's what me and Greg were talking about the other day is if you put out like a PlayStation 5 Steam Deck would be the greatest thing in the world, right? The idea of a PlayStation 5 handheld that you are playing PlayStation games on, but it will also cost an incredible amount of money that would make it worth it for the market.
It also sounds like an optimization disaster.
Yeah, right? Like, is that as well? Like, would it have to be weaker in order to compensate? Yep. And do developers want to do that? Do your first parties even want to do that, right? Probably not. And so I think for them, that's a big hurdle. Then you get into cloud streaming. PlayStation Plus, the three tiers are a thing, right? At the highest tier, you're getting PlayStation Premium. You're getting the ability to stream PS3 games. You're getting the ability to stream, I believe, with PlayStation Extra as well, to stream the games on the platform, right? PS4 and PS5 games. That, I think, could be a cool direction for a PlayStation handheld. And I'm surprised they're not immediately taking that direction. But I think it comes back to this thing being more of an accessory than a dedicated handheld thing, which is, hey, if we can put this thing out for, let's say, $150.
Yep. Okay.
And it is this. You are using this. The form factor of it feels like a PlayStation 5 DualSense, which is really good, right? Like ergonomically good. Has great features. Has the adaptive triggers. All that stuff. If that's how it feels in terms of form factor, and then you are just talking about a screen, which, as this article describes, 8-inch LCD, 1080p, 60fps. These are good bullet points, right? In terms of what you'd want out of a screen. Of course, I'd love OLED, but hey, like if I'm getting a good quality experience and I'm using this purely as a remote play device, I think they're just providing an alternative for people who might not want to use their phone, right? Like if I'm like, no, my phone's not my gaming device. I don't want to use that for that. I don't have a Steam Deck. I don't have anything that can stream PlayStation. Hey, no, give us $150. Like use remote play that way. That way wherever you are at in your home, you can do that, right? Or if you travel and want to use bad hotel Wi-Fi to remote play, you can try that as well.
But on top of that, like there needs to be something to sell the idea of like, okay, like I don't like using my phone to do remote play, but you know, I will if I'm really inclined to. Do I really want to spend another $150 to use a device that pretty much accomplishes the same exact thing? There's got to be something in that tech to really sell.
Yeah,
it, right?
And that's the thing is, I don't think this is gonna blow up, right? If this comes out, and of course, like this story, take with a little bit of grain of salt. Like I believe it for the most part, but also there's a level of, all right, I want more confirmation out of this thing. I don't think this is a thing that's going to take over the world. I think this might speak to a niche market of the PlayStation community, and I don't think they expect it to be a big thing, right? I think they're trying to push remote play. Remote play being a cool feature that I'll again say is underutilized and underrated.
Mm-hmm.
If they're able to sell that to people to the hardcore in the way that they're selling this DualSense Edge to the hardcore, then I think that'll get their thing across. I think it'll be all about pricing, and if they can price this at a good place, if they can price this at $150 or $200. I think that's a decent place to have it, right? If you're somebody who's going to buy a DualSense Edge, I think they're expecting that sort of audience to come through and maybe buy this Q-Lite device.
Yeah, I think you used the right term, accessory, right? If you can sell me on that blast with the right point, with the right price point, then I'm now semi-interested. I think when I think of the mobile handheld market, I think of either your phones with cloud streaming over on the Xbox side of things and, of course, mobile games. But really what I think about is the Steam Deck, right? That can do so much more, that has so much to offer, from third-party games to, of course, the Steam library to even more on that handheld, right? I think that's what I'm looking for when I think of, hey, my go splurge on a handheld device. I want it to be able to do a whole lot more than just, hey, you need Wi-Fi and you're going to remote play into a PS5 that you may or may not have, right? I think that's what the mobile market is currently looking at. On the flip side, if you sell an accessory for, you know, personally, I'm thinking $100, but I get it, right? This is going to have to be in the $100 to $200 range if that's what we're really talking about,
I think,
right?
It, like, at max, if you want this thing to be successful and not upset people, I don't think it can go above $200.
Agreed.
People are throwing out prices in chat that are like $300,
$400.
I understand that from a, if you're going to make a dedicated, like, this accessory / handheld that has a screen, all these things, you're thinking around that range. If you wanted to be successful, you got to lower it down to 100, 200, somewhere around
there. I totally agree with that. It's just you're going into a market here where there's so much competition. There are so many easier ways to play. There's way more offerings on different ways to play, whether it be your phone or other things, right? So, like, this is an accessory. I like how you put that, right? Like, that's how I would look at this, and that's how you'd have to sell it to me. Price point's going to be key. But also, once again, right, we're talking about quote unquote phase 2 of PlayStation 5, which I like that you guys coined that. I think that's pretty cute and fun. But like, I still feel like most of the conversation is we're in phase one. Let's get more consoles out there. Let's get more people playing. We're still early in this generation with games, and we're waiting for more games to come. It's so crazy to think that, like, we're in phase two. And, you know, when you count the years, technically, yeah, we're getting in to phase two and moving towards the middle of the life cycle of these consoles. But it's wild to think of that. I guess with COVID and all of that and the pandemic, you still think of, oh, they're hard to find. Many people don't have those, right? But having this tied to a console is kind of crazy, right? You know, it's wild to think of. So for me, this is not my biggest thing, especially being not a huge PlayStation guy. I play my exclusives, as you know. I play those on the game, and that's about it. On the flip side, like, I like how Xbox approached this. I like how Steam and Steam Deck has created this stuff. Like, that's what I'm looking for out of a mobile device. I'm not really looking to grab a controller with a screen and have it need Wi-Fi tied to a console.
Yeah. I'm trying to find things to compare it to, right? Because I think some of the comparable devices we can talk about would be the Logitech, the Logitech G cloud device? The handheld that just came out from Logitech that Paris got his hands on. That was like $300, $350 around that, which for that, like, we look at that as like, no, like, that you can't sell a device like this at that level and expect this to blow up and be super successful. But yeah, like, that's a device that does run things natively, right? It does, like, I believe it's powered by Android, if I recall correctly, and that does do, like, cloud stuff as well, and that does have things like Game Pass and stuff like that as well, right? So I think on the very high end, we're talking about that for this device, right? On the lower end, I'm looking at things like even the Switch Lite, right? Which the Switch Lite costs $200. That is also a thing that runs games natively, right? And has a lot of built in there and does cloud streaming and all that stuff. If you are not having any of that, right? If you're not having any of those features and you are talking about good hardware, then I think you are coming in around like a 200, right? If this is purely for remote play, again, as a proposition, oh man, I don't know about that. But like, hey, if that's what you want to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, this can't be that expensive. This cannot be $300.
Accessory price is right. Like,
accessory price.
It has to be accessory price. You have to sell me and the family on it being a cool accessory that we can bring out on vacation with us and my kids can have some fun, or I as an adult gamer can have a good time at the pool with. But Wi-Fi, needing remote play, like, there's a lot of factors to that. And we all know when you travel, you're not always with Wi-Fi, right? Maybe you don't have the best Wi-Fi. We all want, as gamers, I want to be able to have my games downloaded on that so it's running, ready to rock and roll. Mm-hmm. I want to be able to use 5G now, that cell phone service is everywhere, and I want to be able to do that if I want to stream things like that. There's just so much more that I want out of this, especially from PlayStation. But when I read that, I get a little like, man, especially like you said, like, PSVR 2. Is it hot right now?
My dream version of this would be maybe add cloud also, right? Like, let me be able to play my PlayStation Premium, PlayStation Extra games through this thing and not have it be tethered to my PS5, right? Because you talk about, like, having it on rest mode and, like, I think on top of that, you're also relying on the internet of both your PS5 and where it's at, and then the internet of wherever you are at with, like, in your hotel or, like, your friend's place across the country, or if you're even in your same house, right? You're relying on so much versus if I'm able to play this wide library of games, right? Like, my PlayStation Extra library, wherever, and I'm able to do that through this cloud device, then I could see a market for that even being $300 and that working, right? Like, especially if you want to push PlayStation Plus as a thing. But yeah, I think the ultimate dream would be, hey, let me play games natively. And I just don't think that's going to happen. That's just not going to happen.
It's an interesting beast, especially with Game Pass on the flip side, right? As the Xbox guy here in the building, on the flip side, Game Pass rocks. Right, like, I'm out on vacation, I pull out the phone, it doesn't matter what I got, if I got a strong enough signal, bang bang, I'm streaming games and I'm having a fun time, right? And like, on the flip side here, at least I have my full library through remote play, right? I do wish that Game Pass had my full library that I could play with. It is only Game Pass titles at this time to be able to stream from, but I want to see more out of this. If this is going to become reality, I expect more, especially from Sony. Like, they're a smart, competent company. They should be able to make something better than this, because I just don't think this is what people want.
Yep. But we'll see. Like, again, this is a report. This is rumored. I'm sure when they announce it, maybe there's going to be details there that we don't know. But for that, we'll have to wait and see. For now, let's hop into story number two. Amazon's gaming division is laying off over 100 employees. This is Tom Ivan at Video Games Chronicle. Amazon has announced plans to cut over 100 employees from its video games division. In a memo to staff obtained by CNBC, Amazon Games Vice President Christoph Hartmann said the layoffs would be spread across the company's game growth group, its San Diego development studio, and Prime Gaming. Some employees will also be reassigned to other projects, quote, that match our strategic focus, he said. Last month, Amazon CEO Andy Jassy said Amazon planned to lay off an additional 9,000 employees on top of the 18,000 job cuts announced earlier this year. Quote, there's never a pleasant way to share this sort of news, but we are committed to treating our impacted employees with empathy and respect, and will support them by offering them severance pay, health insurance benefits, outplacement services, and paid time to conduct their job search, Hartmann told told staff in the games division this week. Quote, going forward, our resources will be aligned to support our focus on content. We will focus or we will continue to invest in our internal development efforts, and our teams will continue to grow as our projects progress. The New World team in Irvine will grow as we shift some resources to further support its continued development. Our studio in Montreal will continue to expand and is making great progress on their unannounced project. And the San Diego studio will double down on the pre-production phase of their unannounced game, as that project is not yet ready for a full production-sized team. We'll also continue expanding our publishing efforts, and we remain very active in exploring and signing new projects where we see great potential, such as our recent publishing agreement with NCSoft. And finally, we are optimizing our retail and back-end focused teams to ensure Amazon Games and Prime Gaming deliver strong value and rich experiences for our customers, and are adjusting the team sizes accordingly, end quote. Mike, I think you have more experience playing some of the Amazon games I do. This comes on the heels of a lot of layoffs we've seen in tech, mm-hmm. especially at Amazon, right? I think shifting things over to the game side, does this do anything for you in terms of your perception of Amazon games? I know, like, you checked out New World. There was Lost Ark,
that Diablo-type game. Uh-huh. I was just looking up the games that had dropped there. And, of course, you know, to start off...
There's Crucible as well that came and went.
It's always heartbreaking to hear about layoffs, whether it be in our industry in the video games world or elsewhere, anywhere around the world. It sucks to hear people losing their jobs off of this, especially from a company like Amazon that has so much money and could easily figure out how to do this.
It has people at the top that have so much money.
Also, at the same time, you know, we talked about this when the big three, when Phil said, oh, there's others that want to get into the gaming space. And we looked at Google and Amazon, right? And we looked at these big juggernauts wanting to get a part of it and how they would come in from the outside, maybe not having the history like Nintendo, Sony, and Xbox, and like knowing the ways, right? These are all going to be learning bumps in the roads for them. This is going to be what happens, right? When you try to jump into a space that you might not be the most familiar with, you're going to have these kind of moments. And unfortunately, it does suck that they have to be hit with layoffs. I look at the game library and none of them, you know, New World, Lost Ark, these are games that we've played a bunch of, but I don't think still take over the world. Yeah. And I don't know.
I rarely hear people talk about New World.
And I don't know where we are right now, right, with Amazon. I definitely understand the publishing side of things, right? You flex your money, you bring in other talent to make games for you. But internally, with whatever studios they have going on, I haven't seen anything change the world right now, right? I think they've all had their pops when they first came out, but nothing that has been ever something that I was expecting that would be hot and new and fresh like that.
Yeah. Of course, this is unfortunate. Our hearts go out to people that have, that are losing their jobs, right? It sucks to see, again, people at the top have all this money and go, hey, y'all at the bottom, like, let's cut off thousands of jobs because we're trying to brace for impact in terms of a recession and money tightening up and all these things.
Yeah.
When I look at Amazon games, right, the games that you've talked about, New World, Lost Ark, the games that they've released, even when I talk about Crucible as well, it seems like they're having a not great time, like, figuring out something that's going to stick, especially for a company as big as Amazon. Like, I think they want something that's going to hit on the level of a big moneymaker, right? I think they're trying to find their Fortnite, might even be putting too much, but they're trying to find their Fortnite, right? Mm-hmm. They're trying to find their mm-hmm. Destiny. They're trying to find their Call of Duty, their big games as a service type game that's going to continue to bring in revenue for them so they can exist as a big player in video games. The ones that they put out have not interested me at all, right? I'm not an MMO person, so New World wasn't going to do much for me. Lost Ark, I peeked into and was like, I don't think this is my kind of game. Even Crucible, I was like, well, I like Overwatch, but this seems like more of like a MOBA style thing, and like tried it, not for me. There's a couple of games that are coming out from Amazon that I'm interested in, okay. Right? Blue Protocol being one of them.
That's
the one coming from Bandai Namco. That's the one that reminds me a little bit of Genshin Impact in terms of its style, but is this action RPG that looks really cool. And so that's one. And then also, never forget that they're publishing the next Tomb Raider game, and Amazon talk about, I think Amazon and Embracer, I forget which say which, but they both have a hand in Tomb Raider. They've talked about turning Tomb Raider into like this bigger universe, right? Hey, we want movies, we want games, we want all these things that then also tie in together. They want that to be a big moneymaker for them. I don't know if Tomb Raider is one of those franchises, but I do know that I like me some Tomb Raider. And so when that comes out, I'm sure the regular amount of people that play a Tomb Raider game are going to check it out.
Yeah.
My question is for them, is that long term, is that going to do what they wanted to do, right? Is it going to be a thing of Tomb Raider is raking in the cash?
Mm-hmm.
I don't see Tomb Raider as that kind of franchise, but we shall see.
Yeah, we shall see. You know, Bless, I mean, we can't see the future, but we do know the now, right? This is a company trying to get into the gaming space. It's very early on. They're learning what works, what doesn't work, right, on the development side and within their own internal studios of how many do they need? What can we do production-wise? How do we put out games that Blessing and the gamers around the world want to see, right? And it's so still so early on, right? Let's see what happens 5, 10 years from now. Is Amazon still a player in this space? Are they a major player in this space? Do they continue this? Or when will they say enough is enough, right? Because we've seen others like Google Stadia come in and say, okay, well, maybe that wasn't the right move. Let's not do that anymore, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Amazon, they clearly still have studios working. They just have a little bump in the road that they got to figure out. So let's see on the business side how they recover and what it looks like 5 years from now if they're still around.
Exactly. Well, if you want to see Kinda Funny do well on the business side, let me tell you about patreon.com/kindoffunnygames where you can go and get the show ad-free. And speaking of ads, let us tell you about our sponsors.
Shout out to Evil Dead Rise for sponsoring this episode. You can get your tickets now to see Evil Dead Rise in theaters April 21st. People are saying this movie is absolutely terrifying, and I personally can't wait to see it in a theater because there's you know, few things in life are as special as watching a real scary horror movie surrounded by people freaking out with you. Moving the action out of the woods and into the city, Evil Dead Rise tells a twisted tale of two estranged sisters played by Sullivan and Sutherland, whose reunion is cut short by the rise of flesh-possessing demons, if I had a nickel, thrusting them into a primal battle for survival as they face the most nightmarish version of family imaginable. New Line Cinema and Renaissance Pictures present a return to the iconic horror franchise, and we are hitting entirely new levels of fear here with this one. I don't know if you've seen the trailers for this, but wow, you definitely should. You look like you need a little bit of fear in your life. And then you can go to Evil Dead Rise Movie .com to get your tickets now to see Evil Dead Rise in theaters April 21st. Shout out to Shady Rays for sponsoring this episode. Do you want to look as cool as I look? Yes, you do, and you can. You can take on the sun with gear built to last. Our friends at Shady Rays have you covered for the warm weather ahead with premium polarized shades at an unbeatable price. Shady Rays is an independent sunglasses company that offers a world-class product that's just as good as any expensive pair that I've ever worn in my life. Every pair of sunglasses is backed by lost and broken replacements. If you lose or break your pair, even on day one, they told us they will send you a brand new pair, no questions asked. You can wear your Shady Rays with confidence because they have your back long after you purchase. Exclusively for you listeners, Shady Rays is giving out their best deal of the season. You can go to shadyrays.com and use the code KINDOFFUNNY. You can get 50% off 2+ pairs of polarized sunglasses. You can try for yourself the shades that are rated 5 stars by over 250,000 people. Promo code KINDOFFUNNY at shadyrays.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
And we're back with story number 3. God of War Ragnarok New Game Plus is available right now. This is from the PlayStation blog where they write, "The God of War Ragnarok New Game Plus update is available now. To make sure you're ready to jump into the Nine Realms, we've put together everything you need to know. New equipment, an increased level cap, new enchantments, all this and more is introduced with God of War Ragnarok's New Game Plus mode. As soon as you've beaten the game, you'll be able to dive right into New Game Plus, a New Game Plus save to experience the story again with many more gameplay options available from the start. To start off, you're getting new equipment. You're getting the armor of the Black Bear from the opening scene. That's the armor from the opening scene that I guess you don't get to use.
Yeah, he's got that dope cloak at the beginning sequence, but then, yeah, when you go back inside, he like takes it off or whatever.
Yeah, and so you get to actually wear that. You got the Spartan armor, which adds extra challenge. That's if you're watching the video version right now. It's basically Kratos wearing nothing, right?
And nothing.
And like it's basically like a no armor mode where you are asking for a challenge wearing
this.
Oh,
okay.
You got the Ares armor, the Zeus armor, and then the Spartan Aspis, which is a new shield. You're getting a new level cap, new enchantments, new progression paths, expanded Nilfheim arena, end game bosses, black and white render mode, and more. Hell yeah.
Hey.
It's exciting.
Yeah, shout out to the team. You know, that sounds like a ton of fun and some great additions to that, right? When I think of New Game Plus, I love a good New Game Plus. I'm not the biggest, hey, let's run that back guy, right? Like, I play the game, I have some fun, I'm usually putting it down, not returning. But I do love a New Game Plus, right? I prefer jumping back into where I was, maybe progressing and getting better with that than, hey, start from ground zero again, right? And there's two ways to look at New Game Plus. There is, hey, you're just that max level, let's just run it back. Or you come up with fun new ideas, right? New equipment, new challenges, just like this team has done. So you can see the love and care that they put into it. I'm sure everybody wants it right off the bat at launch, you know what I mean? But to see how much they put into it, well worth the wait to me. Looks good.
Barrett, is this something you're gonna take advantage of?
It's too busy.
I feel that. That's why.
If this was out like maybe like a month earlier, possibly, but yeah, because I was at the beginning of the year, I was feeling like, especially like coming off of like Game of the Year conversations and talking about why Ragnarok was so good, I've been wanting to do a back-to-back play 2018 and then go right into Ragnarok thing, and I was kind of waiting for New Game Plus to do something like that, but. It'll probably have to be, it'll be there when I'm ready for it.
Yeah. Kind of thing, so. That's the cool part is it'll always be there when you're ready for it. Right. And like the best part is when you guys want to jump back into it a year from now, 2 years from now, it's like, oh, New Game Plus is there. I can just jump right in and have fun.
Exactly. Yeah. Like for the exact same reason, I'm not the type to replay modern games that much, but also, yeah, like it's busy time right now. Like we're about to dive into Jedi Survivor when that comes out later. There's Dead Island 2 that's coming out later, and I'll dive at least a little bit
Tears
into that.
Tears of the Kingdom.
Tears of the Kingdom. How can I forget?
We're also just like busy with like fun projects and things of that nature. My new favorite catchphrase.
I like that for you.
it's
Burning
it's
Shores, they say in chat. Diablo 4 with the
Burning Shores. Do you think people are going to quickly forget about Burning Shores? What do you think is going to be up with that? Because I keep forgetting that that's a DLC that's dropping this month.
I mean, I think that happens with DLC. I think that's just a natural thing. Fair. Like, if I told you that Outer Worlds had DLC, would you believe me? Like, that was a game that I played that DLC, and I forget.
Outer Worlds had a lot of DLC.
Yeah, and like
well, a lot.
And like people, I feel like people don't talk when it comes down to DLC, unless it's like something special. Like if it's like Red, what was the Red Dead
the Undead Nightmare?
Oh yeah, unless it's like an Undead Nightmare or like the BioShock DLC or like something that's truly special, I feel like people forget about it.
I think DLC. I think it all is personal, right? It depends on how much you love the game, right? If you loved Outer Worlds above and beyond, you'd be eager and excited to jump into the DLC, right? If you have a fine experience, maybe it comes, maybe it passes you by, maybe you know about it, right? But I think DLC is one of those, it's like, those are truly for the hardcore, unless it's something mega like Undead Nightmare, where it's almost its own standalone thing, right? Then you know everyone's talking about it. But DLC is always a funny one there, where it's like, how well do you sell it? How interested is the player base is it? Can you pull off just the common fan of like, oh, I forgot even about that game. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's a tough battle.
I think it'll be the one, there's going to be a PS Love You episode about it probably. We're likely going to have an episode that's called Horizon Burning Shores review on PS Love You.
Of course.
And then beyond that, how often do we talk about it throughout the year? Like, I think that's the big question.
Well, we're coming hot off of Forza Horizon 5 Rally Adventure, right? The second DLC for Forza, right? And it's a good DLC. It's not a great DLC, right? This isn't something where it's like, yo, Blessing, this DLC knocked it out of the water. If it was the Hot Wheels one, DLC number one, I'd look at you and be like, yo, you got to jump into it because it's that good, right? Sometimes the DLCs, not as hot as they should
be,
right?
And I guess it's expectation as well. Because for me, when it comes to Horizon, I'm looking forward to seeing what's going down in the main story. Like, what's my guy Varl up to? What's my guy Silence up to? Like, what are these characters doing? Like, I'm looking forward to seeing the continuation of the story. With Burning Shores, I'm not going to get more of the main story, right? I'm probably going to go to Los Angeles, see what's up with probably a new tribe or something, and then, like, solve their problems. And it's going to be a good time, probably, but it's not what I look forward to when it comes to Horizon.
It's so interesting because, on the single player side, that's where I want more DLC. I want you to continue the story or give me something new. And I thought for Horizon, many fans would be interested in that.
Yeah.
Right?
Many fans will be interested in it.
Yeah.
But it's not the main meal is my thing, right?
I'm over here as a Halo mega fan, right? And I didn't get Halo Infinite DLC. I didn't get new story content, right? I get story content told through 3-minute vignettes on a multiplayer download. I get story being told to me through a season pass, right? Like, that is the worst kind of DLC that I don't want. I want more Master Chief, right? I want a Gears 5 Hive Buster where it's like, yo, guess what? We're jumping back with more DLC and I'm teaching you a whole new thing about the Gears world. Like, I love a good DLC, and especially when it comes to these single-player focused games, like, sometimes they hit, right? I think of all the Fallout DLCs that I've gone back to, they've always had good DLC for me to continue that. But yeah, I think it's all subjective for each fan and how bad you want to go back into it.
And I think that's the big thing there. Story number 4, Phil Harrison has reportedly left Google. This is Jay Peters at The Verge. Phil Harrison, who headed up Google's now-shuttered cloud gaming service, Stadia, is no longer at Google, according to Business Insider. Stadia was officially shut down in January, and Harrison apparently left at around that same time. Harrison's quiet departure marks a muted end to his time at the search giant. Search? Google. Yeah, that makes sense. Mm-hmm. I was like, is that what we're calling cloud gaming now? Search? At the search giant. He joined the company in January 2018, and while he didn't specify what he was working on at the time, it was easy to guess that he was probably doing something with gaming. Harrison worked at Sony Computer Entertainment, now Sony Interactive Entertainment, for 15 years. He was on the advisory board for the cloud gaming service Gaikai and led Microsoft's Xbox and Interactive Entertainment business in Europe from 2012 to 2015. And lo and behold, a year after Harrison came to Google, he was on stage introducing Stadia to the world. Google didn't immediately reply to a request for comment. Harrison's LinkedIn says he served as a Google vice president from January 2018 until April 2023. Mike, have you kept up with Phil Harrison's journey here?
No, I have not. I had to Google him and look him up. It sounds like he's got a lot of experience and expertise in the video game world, but I don't really know much about his line of work, his history. I see people in the chat saying things, but like for me, I just look at this as Stadia shut down. The guy's moving on to something new. Seems like some talent around there.
Yeah. If I'm lumping this in with another person, correct me if I'm wrong, Chad, but kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. Was he the one that helped with the launch of the PS3 and then helped with the launch of the Xbox One and then immediately went to Google?
Oh, snap.
Was he the one?
Okay.
Because I feel like he might.
Maybe I'm a different mindset now. Maybe I'm a different mindset.
People in chat are saying yes. Okay. Well, yeah, I feel like people pick on Phil Harrison, if I remember correctly from the internet and the way that people speak. When Phil Harrison joins a project, I feel like the internet is like, oh, shit. Like, here we go. That's the vibes I've gotten. But hey, good luck to Phil Harrison wherever you're going next. Praying for you.
maybe we talk to him. Maybe he tells us a different story.
Yeah, that's
the
thing.
I
want to hear Phil's side.
Never met Phil. You know what I mean? Maybe Phil's got a different thing. You know?
MadogNick96 says he gave us PlayStation Home, and that was ahead of his time.
Was that the PlayStation Home? Was the weird virtual reality Second Life type vibe? Right?
Yeah, not virtual reality, but it was.
That looked cool. That looked cool. I never got to try that, but like
it wasn't executed well, but it was a good idea.
Yeah, that was such an interesting one, especially now when we push VR to the future and we push these, live service games or these second world games like World of Warcraft you think of where people spend countless hours in them. PlayStation Home, interesting vibe way back then. I saw that and I was like, man, I would like to run around that. I'd like to try that.
Bring it back. Do that instead of PlayStation.
If that was here right now, you and I, we'd be running.
Dude, I'd be hanging out on PlayStation
we'd
Home.
We'd be running.
We'll be the two posters on your wall on your PlayStation Home.
We'd be there.
I would have Last of Us and Persona 5 Royal. Let's say that. Story number five. Is this our last? Yeah, this is our last news story. Story number five. Miyamoto says mobile is not the primary path for future Mario games. This is James Batchelor at GamesIndustry.biz. Shigeru Miyamoto, the creator of Mario, has said mobile is unlikely to play a major role in the franchise's future releases. So far, Nintendo's most iconic character has appeared in three mobile games, Super Mario Run, which grossed $60 million in its first year, Mario Kart Tour, which has made over $300 million since its launch in 2019, and Dr. Mario World, which shut down after 2 years. Speaking to Variety ahead of the release of today's The Super Mario Bros. Movie, Miyamoto said that mobile apps will not be the primary path of future Mario games. Quote, "First and foremost, Nintendo's core strategy is a hardware and software integrated gaming experience," he told the publication. Quote, "The intuitiveness of the control is a part of the gaming experience. When we explored the opportunity of making Mario games for the mobile phone, which is a more common generic device, it was challenging to determine what that game should be. That is why I played the role of director for Super Mario Run, to be able to translate that Nintendo hardware experience into the smartphone devices," end quote. Miyamoto added that having Mario games on mobile expands the doorway for far more audiences to experience the game, echoing comments from a Nintendo spokesperson in December. This is a small one, right? Like, this isn't anything that surprises us, the idea that mobile's not going to be the main place for Mario. But it is interesting seeing him reflect a bit on what the mobile stuff has been. And, like, him talking about it being a challenge makes me wonder if we're not going to see Mario stuff again for mobile until it makes sense, right? Like, it seems very much like a, hey, come over to our Nintendo hardware to play the actual Mario games, right? It's like a tease, as opposed to a, I don't think you're going to get a full-fledged Mario game for a mobile device that they consider mainline.
Totally agreed with that, Bless. I think everybody here knows the home of where Mario really is, but I think we always talk about the sandboxing, letting others play in the sandbox, create in the sandbox, and yeah, mobile is a great avenue to get more eyes on Mario, right? I think Mario doesn't really need more eyes, but it's always good to get new audiences involved, get them to try a Mario game. Maybe they'll come over and play your mainstay Mario games. But Mario's home is definitely not a mainstay on mobile, of course. We all know that. But yeah, and even listen, as a Mario noob, I know that.
And that might seem like common sense, but Sonic didn't get the memo, right? Sonic was like, yo, we'll put our mainline shit anywhere. They put out Sonic 4 as a mobile game, and that shit was weird, Mike. I don't know if you remember that.
Blessing, can we be real with each other really quick?
What up?
When did Sonic go wrong? When did Sonic lose his? When did Sonic lose the path, lose the rail that he grinded on, and say, "Oh, that's not my home. I'm everywhere now, or I'm lost and I'm just anywhere now"? When did he lose?
Some people might have said that Sonic never went right. I'm not one of those people. But Sonic, I feel like Sonic was conceived with almost like this, like a monkey's paw right next to him, where. Like, yeah, you're going to create this character who is a rival to Nintendo, right?
Yes,
it's going to be
exactly.
Your mascot, a rival to Mario, but you want it to be hip and cool. You want it to be the definition of hip and cool back in the early 90s, right? Yeah. You want this character to be that.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's make him a hedgehog. Let's make him bright blue. Let's give him gloves and big shoes.
Yep.
And also, let's have him go fast. He's going to run faster than Mario. That's going to be the thing.
Yeah.
I feel like it's worked in terms of IP recognition and Sonic staying around through the years, right? Like, when we think of Sonic, we think of him going fast. We think of him being this blue hedgehog with an attitude that loves chili dogs and all this stuff.
Yeah.
When you take those concepts and translate them to a video game, I think that gets a bit more difficult. Because, like, I don't know. Like, I love playing Sonic's 1 through 3 so much. I love those classic games. They're not as good as Mario, right? Mm-hmm. Like, those don't... I feel like going fast isn't necessarily the primary thing that makes a video game good.
Okay.
And so, yeah, I feel like I feel like from back then, even, like, you're starting off in this weird place of what the game concept is, and when you translate that into 3D, like, let's be real, y'all. Sonic Adventure 1 and 2, it's not that great.
Now, is that the one with the iconic song and the Chao Garden? And he's... Okay, see, that's where I thought Sonic was at its peak. That was Sonic to me, where it's like Sonic Mania is happening. People love and want Sonic.
I legitimately think those games are bad.
Maybe that was when it took the wrong turn.
And that's
maybe
my thing,
that's the moment.
Is Sonic, I don't think, ever gracefully transitioned to 3D in the way that Mario just automatically... Like, not only did Mario transition to 3D, Mario invented what 3D was,
thrived.
Right? Mario thrived and, like, innovated and all this stuff. If Sonic transitioned to 3D and it was weird as shit, and then they just kept making games and, like, they had some good ideas here and there, right? And I think for the most part, like, if you like the attitude, if you like the characters, there's fun to be had there. But the games genuinely were never fucking fantastic. But yeah, like I think now Sonic has just become a thing where you appreciate it because you appreciate the IP and the nostalgia. Like my fandom of Sonic is more so like I think I compare it more so to people's fandom of Hello Kitty. I just like this guy, right? Like this is a cool hedgehog.
He's got a cool crew. He's Shadow, Knuckles.
I got
Tails.
A Shadow
Come
chain.
On, he's got cool people.
I wore my Shadow chain to a birthday party we went to on Saturday, and like I got stopped by hella people. They're like, "Is that a Shadow the Hedgehog?"
It's super dope, bro.
That's what it's. That's what Sonic the Hedgehog is about. Mm-hmm. It's about the vibes.
What's his alligator friend? He's got an alligator guy.
Oh, Vector.
Yeah, that's a cool dude. That's cool dude.
Vector's cool.
I like
as hell.
Alligators.
Rouge the Bat.
Oh,
cool as hell.
Yo. I need one more name.
SBO?
SBO, okay.
Cool as hell.
I need
cool
one more name, Bless.
Cream?
A specific name.
Cream?
Amy Rose?
A specific name.
Shadow?
Who's this lady again?
Oh, God. Get it off screen, Barrett. Get off the screen.
This is the third time I've shown this in the last 5 minutes.
Barrett, I was in my bag, all right? I forgot this is a show. I was talking to my guy, Mike.
Yeah, I'm having fun. I'm
about
lost
Sonic
in it.
Hedgehog.
I'm having
I was
good
not
time.
Looking
What's
at the
name?
Screen.
What's your name, Bless?
I don't know her name. Somebody in chat
when
says Princess Elise. I don't know.
Final Fantasy or something? That's what it looks like right there.
No, that's Sonic 06, which
is
one of those.
This is just a Sonic game, Mike. You would think that this is a crossover with Final Fantasy.
Is it a crossover that I missed? I didn't see this one.
One of the worst games ever made.
Okay.
Is
okay.
Sonic 06. And one day I'll play it.
Okay. That'd be
one
cool.
day I'll play it.
That'd be cool. I'll play that with you.
Put it on the bar.
Mike, I'm going to play Sonic 06 someday. Yes. But that day is just so far away. If I wanted it was coming out to mom and grop shops today, where would I look?
Blessing, I would tell you and all of my friends around the globe to go out and seek the official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily Show host each and every weekday.
Let me tell you, Mike. Let me tell you.
Tell me.
If you ever wanted to do a stream of Sonic 06, I'm there.
But
I'll play some
Sonic
06
on
stream.
I want to learn more about this.
We can do... like
I want to learn more.
Let me let people in on a peek behind the curtain. I throw out a lot of Blessing Show ideas to Mike or to Roger.
To Roger.
Right? Like,
yeah,
we go back and forth about what the next episodes should be, all this stuff. Mm-hmm. I want to say it was sometime last year, or maybe the year before. I think I pitched him the idea of, hey, what if I played every Sonic game, including the bad ones, and just made a whole like retrospective on the entire Sonic franchise, like the good, the bad, the ugly?
I'd watch that.
I think it'd be a fantastic
I think I would
content.
Learn a lot, too. I think I'd learn a lot.
It's just the fact that, like, it's a lot of bad. It's a lot of bad in there. It's a lot of suffering involved in that one.
Well, what
but
if
maybe
it becomes
it?
Good? Like, Blessing, let me pull you behind the curtain really quick.
Pull
Your
me
boy
back.
Snowbike Mike last week before Mania played one bad game called Crime Boss Rock K City.
Jesus.
And ever since I played it, Bless, I can't get it out of my mind. Is it a first-person shooter? Is it a heist game like Payday? Is it a job simulator management game? I have no idea what this bad game is, but I just can't get enough of it, Bless.
Like, you keep playing it? Are you going back to it?
My mind. I just
you just can't
stop
thinking
about it, bro.
I love that for you. I'm happy for you. I want it. Should I put that thing up?
You should play it at least once just to get a good laugh out of it and then never play it again.
Okay, that's fair enough. That's fair enough.
But yeah, maybe the good becomes the bad. Or I mean, the bad becomes
the
good.
I have a good time. You know, I think even though Sonic 06 is a bad game, I think we can make good content out of it. I think it'd be a fun time experiencing something that bad.
If you're committed to that, I would try that with you. We could do that for like a week, you know what I mean? Or
let's start off with one stream.
One stream.
Let's be like, we're going to play the beginning.
Okay.
And if it's a fun time, then we start committing to more.
Okay.
We got to commit.
You think we got to commit to the whole thing?
I say
when
we play
we
it all the way
Metal
through.
Metal Gear, were we only like, oh, yeah, we're only going to do one Metal
but
Gear stream?
No,
we fucking committed.
Those are some of the best games ever made. Like, yeah, we're going to have a good time playing
still
some Metal Gear.
That. We're still chasing that.
God, still
mold.
Chasing that.
God damn,
nothing
that game
will ever.
Fun.
We can never recreate that magic.
It was so special.
Andy thinks we can if I play Dark Souls on stream. But
you
I
on Dark Souls, Andy on Bioshock
but then
would be special.
To, we just need to not bully you on
Let me play. Let me play Half-Life. I want to play Half-Life so bad.
Half-Life would be a good one.
I want to play Mario. Not 64. What's the newest one?
Odyssey?
I want to play that
one. Oh, you never played Odyssey?
I might play that one more.
You'd have a fun time in Odyssey.
Yeah, you know.
It's a joyful game.
The hat around.
Did you have a fun time in Breath of the Wild?
Yeah, I had a fun time. I had a fun time. I fought that centaur.
Oh, yeah, you
and
did.
And I defeated that centaur.
Oh, yeah, you like
and
you.
And people were like, Mike, you can't do that, and I did it.
You fought the Lionel that wasn't supposed to be beaten.
I did it.
You took like an hour and a half to fight him, though.
Yeah. Oh yeah, it was.
I feel like you stopped having fun when I stopped coming in and doing all the voices.
Yeah. Once I lost Baird in the voice acting, that's when it happened. Mm, is right.
Fair enough. Out today, we got Death or Treat for PC, PlayStation 5, or Xbox Series. I thought that said Death Threat, and that took me out of it.
Oh, okay.
Death or Treat. We got Terrascape for PC. Sid Meier's Railroads for mobile, which feels like somebody put that into like a video game name generator.
That's what I thought too when I saw that. Yeah.
Uh-huh. That is going to be a blessing or whatchamacallit. One of my game shows. That's going to be a game show of mine.
Yes,
someday.
I like that.
Movie House, the film studio tycoon for mobile.
Ooh.
A Light in the Dark for Switch. And then No Man's Sky's new Interceptor update is out today, and it looks real cool.
Every time I want to go back to that game, we jump in and I go, this is too much, and I turn it off immediately. Yeah. Like, that's literally how this happens every time.
Yeah.
We jump in, and I look at my friends. I go, this is way too much. We got to get out of here, and I never go back.
I've given up on it. It seems like the coolest game in the world that I've never get to experience. So shout out No Man's Sky. New date for you. We have no new dates for you. Deal of the day for you, though. Inscription is $14.99 on the US eShop. And Inscription is a game that I'll say everybody needs to play.
Andy was chirping in my ear, too, saying I should play that game.
It's an incredible video game.
Really?
10 out of 10 video game.
Is it like Magic the Gathering?
Yes.
In some ways,
is it like One Piece, the new trading card game that I'm into?
I could not tell you. I could not tell you.
I'm opening packs, baby.
Yes. Okay. It is exactly like that.
Things he wants to hear, and then you just got to play his game and just tell him.
You can buy all the packs you want in that
game. All right. Oh, I love packing cards.
That's a lie. You can't do that. But you can collect. You can collect cards.
Okay.
We do have a squad up for you. Of course, you can write into kindoffunny.com/KFGD to get your squad ups read on the show, just like Jakey Oz did. Jakey Oz has an IRL squad up that says this. A lot of Jakes have been emerging in the KF community lately, between myself, Jake Bakes Cakes, and the Jake that wrote into KFGD last week. I even think there was a fourth who wrote in a while ago, too. A storm is brewing. There can only be one true Jake. Watch your asses, other Jakes.
One.
It's kind of the opposite of a squad.
Oh, wow. He's just saying, if I see you in the streets, it's on.
Yeah.
It's on site.
So.
Okay, well, thankfully.
Jake Bakes Cakes, fucking hide.
Thankfully, there's only four Jakes, you know what I mean? There's only four.
I mean,
this sounds like something where we get all four of these Jakes that come to the studio, get them on this set, have them fight each other, only one Jake leaves.
I'll tell you right now, there's definitely more than four Jakes that listen to the show.
Come on, my dude. Because
Mike and Nick today are going to work.
Yeah.
Oh,
we're going to work, big dog.
Stay tuned. Beep, beep. Who's got the keys to the bus?
Is that the bus door opening, Bless? Get on the bus with us. Come take a ride.
Do buses usually have co-bus drivers? Is that how that works?
Yep.
They will now. They will now.
Sometimes when one is being trained, you know.
All the cool buses do.
Oh, shit.
We'll even take music requests. We'll take it. We'll put on your favorite song if you want, Bless.
Holy
cow. I mean?
We're going to play some Cardi B up in there. Now it's time for kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong. Rewrite in. Let us know what we got wrong as we got it wrong so you can correct it for those watching later on YouTube and listening later on podcast services around the globe.
Nice. Did we get anything wrong? I don't think we really messed anything up.
I mean, usually on the show, we bat a perfect game.
Okay.
Nano says the fish game Mike was thinking about was Eat or Die.
Oh, it was a fish game. Yeah, okay.
Kebab says Kratos actually loses his cape in the opening chase after he first fends off Freya.
Yes, I remember that scene. Uh-huh. Cape goes flying.
Nano says there are only two DLCs for Outer Worlds. Maybe Mike was thinking of No Man's Sky with over a dozen updates and DLCs. Oh. Two is still a lot, I feel like.
It's a lot.
I'd say that.
Well, they have the cool murder mystery one.
Yeah, there was murder on Eridanos, and then...
Then a weird one, then like the origami one. Or something like that. It was a weird word.
Something like that, yeah. Uh-huh. The origami killer. And then, Kebab says the name of the girl Sonic is kissing is Princess Elise. Mm. Joey D says crab champions can be played with a maximum of four in a party. Mike said there was a three-player party size. There you go.
Say that again, the crab game?
Yeah, the crab champions can be played with a max of four.
Oh, snap, I can add one more friend to my list. Okay,
exactly.
Cool.
I just love the idea that you're neglecting one friend. He's like, dude, I want to play this crab game with you. And you're like, sorry, man.
Sorry, three people.
Sorry,
only.
Man. I got Nick and Andy with me. You can't come play. I'm sorry, dude.
Ever since Apex Legends came out and was like, yo, we're a three-player game. We had to kick the fourth friend out. Now I don't even think to invite the fourth friend anymore.
Yeah, isn't Destiny the first to do that? Wasn't Destiny like the three-player
That was pretty messed
game?
Up of Destiny to that do
that,
too.
That was so fucked up.
That was fucked up.
That's why I don't play Destiny.
Destiny of all games is like, yo, you can only have three players, but then we're going to play like weird PvP matches where you team up with other squad jobs of three, but you can't have more. And then there's raids and stuff. It's like, let me just have my crew. Let's get back to the old days, you know?
Go. Crazy. Four player. The N64 had it figured out. Tomorrow's hosts for Kinda Funny Games Daily are going to be me and Tim Ma fucking Geddes. And on Friday, you're getting Tim and me. If you watch this live right now, after this is going to be some Bus Simulator with Mike and Nick. If you want to cast that stream later, of course, you can subscribe to youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. Remember, this has been Kinda Funny Games Daily, each and every weekday live right here on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. We run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. Until next time, Game Daily.
Goodbye, Ray Apollo.